For the last session today, this is either one of the famous or infamous parts of the TFT conferences where we take questions from the audience. I think Oscar kind of, from what I hear from Forrest, I went around for many of those early ones. This is one of those things that Oscar kind of loved and hated, I think, at the same time. Because, you know, when you think about it, you never know what question you're going to get when you open it up to the whole world. It's sort of like, sometimes I get emails. People either ask questions or they ask for things that I can't even understand a lot of times what they're saying. You kind of open yourself up, but, in good faith and in the spirit of love, we will try our best, with this esteemed panel that we have here to answer whatever questions you got. So let's give the panel a round of applause before we begin. That's a good one.
Better than right.
I didn't receive any written questions. So does anybody, Chip's got the microphone, and this year we're going to give you the microphone, let you ask the question so we get a good recording of it. We get a recording of the question and the answer. We've had complaints in the past. Well, we can hear the answers from the panel, but we can't hear the questions. So this year Chip's going to take the mic, and we'll give you the mic if you've got a question. So if you've got that little nagging Bible question, that you're not really, you know, maybe something you need a little help with, raise your hand. Don't be shy. We're all family here. Nobody's gonna.
Brzezinski kids, you have any questions?
Which one, right?
I'll ask a quick one because I begin to explore this dispensational boundary, Acts 28, and I talk to friends about it. I get this attitude like, how dare you? I don't see this in any of the church fathers. I don't see this anywhere. This is like a newfangled thing drummed up by Darby and Schofield, and you're not a Bulgerite, are you? You know, that kind of stuff. So what, you know, what would be a good biblical loving response that can get them to be thinking about things truthfully as opposed to making it like a argument about personalities or something like that?
Oh, that's a great question. Please use the mic if you're going to, or you guys are going to answer. They should all be on.
I have a hit at it. Paul says that all that are in Asia have left me. That's when he was alive, right? And if you look at the nature of the mystery, it's not built on the prophetical prophets. So it's a new, totally new message. And I think from the day one, if you look at what Paul says, that he wants them to understand this message. So it's obviously a difficulty, even at the time that he was such a great teacher as Paul, man. He must have been great preacher and teacher, but even in his time, it appears that it was difficult for them to comprehend these things.
Peter's brothers, right?
Yeah. So I think from the very get-go, it was a difficulty and evidence that people were not wanting to listen to Paul. And so why don't you see it in the church fathers circle? Examine the church fathers. They are some of the most mixed up people on the face of this earth. No one's really going to follow all the church fathers believed. So what's going on there? It just seems to me that we shouldn't be too worried about whether we can find or not find the distinctive ministry of the Apostle Paul. All we need to do is find it in the scriptures clearly taught. And I think we do. I think we do find it quite clear. Anyone else want to shout out?
Wayne, that's really a good answer. And that's where we really need to separate it. Because otherwise, it's a tit for tat. And you don't want to get there. You want to ask questions. You want to see the distinction. Not for your own edification, but, the church fathers were all messed up. I mean, I don't care what denomination you go to, where they point, you can always see lots of descriptions there. And I think that's, when people raise these questions up, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for more of the same. And I think if you had to show a difference, I think the most obvious one is in Romans where it says it's you first, and then go to Ephesians chapter 2, it says we're all fellow heirs, and there's no distinction between the Jew and the Gentile.
Amen.
If you just that alone, and then just do it Wayne said, I think you do that.
Amen. Any others?
Well, one thing I think, don't discount the adversary. Satan has done one heck of a job, you know, in offsetting truth. And it just behooves us then to grow in grace and knowledge of him to where we can pass it on. But we're up against a real adversary.
Yes, sir.
Don't believe that. Read Ephesians 6. Good question. That adequately answer or hit you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I was going to say just one extra note.
Go right ahead.
It would be really good to do a bit of homework on what the church fathers teach and just spit it back at them. You know? Yeah. And what do you think about that? Are you going to practice those things? Water baptismal regeneration and all those?
Yeah, one of the beauties is showing the differences between, as we know, a lot of things that happened in Acts that don't happen today. And,
We should be following those four.
Exactly. And one of the good ones, I love to ask them, are whether you're under law or under grace. And I say, oh, I'm under grace. I'm like, well, where did you come up with that? Where did you divide the scripture to get away from the law and get under grace? That's not the start.
To the scripture.
Yeah.
They want to make an argument of personalities.
Yes.
Provenance or whatever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think Oscar Baker was really good at that. If somebody had questions and didn't see it or didn't want to, he would just ask them questions.
Yeah.
And then, either way they have to answer it, and if they can't see it for themselves, then I guess I can't say
it was like my father-in-law. We were both masters at answering a question with another question.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah, when we would have Bible studies, you'd get very few answers out of him, but you would get a whole lot of questions. And the questions would make you think. Just like all these guys that are presented here today, they make you think. You may not walk away totally agreeing, but the indication out of that is what we both need to do is go study more and see where it ends up. Good question. Go ahead.
But you got a lot of scripture.
Yeah, you got to have some basic ground rules to start with, that all scripture is inspired and that we do need to study to show ourselves approved. And that should be something that everybody can agree on, I would think. Go ahead.
And this kind of led me to wonder about the Bereans. What did they study? Did they study Paul's writings, Peter's Old Testament?
You say the Bereans?
The Bereans.
Oh, y'all hear the question? You're talking about Acts 17, right?
Yeah, I think that's...
Paul said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica.
Right.
In that they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things that Paul said really be so, right?
Was it Paul's name? Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. Who wants to dive on that one?
Yeah, I would assume they were searching the Old Testament scriptures to see whether what he was saying about Moses and the prophets were true.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And that really is a cool place to show the difference. Because they could find what Paul was getting at in the Old Testament scriptures, whereas a mystery, they can search all they want. They're not going to find it. See, that's kind of a neat distinction.
That's a good point, because at the time at that point in Acts, the mystery had never been revealed to Paul yet, so they're not going to find it in the Holy Writ. Yeah.
The other thing, too, is in Acts 28, Paul gathered the leaders in Rome together, and what did he talk about? He talked about the Old Testament scriptures. Yeah. He talked about the prophets and the law of Moses.
Born into Leah.
That's what he did. Yeah. So that's where that led to.
Amen.
Give him to the end of Acts.
Got one feet?
No.
Good question, though. Excellent question. Who's next? We'll take a couple more. And then,
I was intrigued that I shared that with you.
Wait a minute, we gotta have Mark Paul.
I was intrigued, and I shared that with you, Randy, earlier about, you indicated you didn't have, of course, the time. I bet you can share a little more. I know you refer me to the reference, which I hope to, purchase and look up. On the Israel, Jews at Israel right now in that location, scripturally, that you referenced in Genesis, if you can touch on that again.
Genesis chapter 9 talks about Noah and his prophecy there, the Shemites were blessed and the Canaanites will be the servants. But the next thing he says is that God's going to enlarge the tents, or enlarge the company of Japheth, and they shall dwell in the tents of Shem. So in other words, Japheth is, that brother is going to be occupying the tents, the place where God gave the Shemites. God gave Abraham, who was the son of Shem, Israel, the promised land. But Japhites will be occupying that land. And that's what that prophecy is. And that's what I believe, based on DNA and over stuff like that. Even the people themselves say they are Ashkenazi Jews that live there. And if that's the case, but then that prophecy is being fulfilled even today. For the Ashkenazi Jews, which are sons of Japheth, they're living in the promised land, which was given to Shem. So that's what that takes place there. And then Ezekiel 33, which was made, Wayne had said from 25 to 32, but in 33, God says that those people that are there in the promised land, I'm gonna get rid of them in 33. So God's gonna do that. You know, he'll probably use some kind of tool of man to do it, just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar and those like, but he's gonna cut them off. I'm not sure if that's what you want to hear, but
appreciate it.
You know, there's just a whole other study there in that subject.
Yeah, I just had a comment. Randy was talking about the Ashkenazi Jews. He didn't have time to get into explaining who these Ashkenazi Jews are.
Yeah.
Back in history, at 120 BC, Doc Hyrcanus had a battle with the Edomite Empire.
The old white figures. Yeah.
Joined Israel.
What do you do?
Of being destroyed or being circumcised and joined. So the Edomite Empire joined, and after a couple of hundred years, what do we find? The Herodian Empire came on the scene and took over Israel. King Herod was an Edomite. Who are these Edomites? These are the children of Esau. Esau stole back the birthright promise that was initially given to him, or was supposed to be given to him, but Isaac stole the birthright promise, or Jacob rather, stole the birthright promise. So what do we have today? The Edomite Empire has taken over Israel because, this book right here that I had just shown someone, this book goes through and shows DNA science says that the Israelites living, supposedly Israelites living in Israel today, do not have Israelite blood in them. 98% of the people in Israel have no Jewish blood. They have other blood, Turkish, Mongol, Edomite blood. And that empire was settled by the Ashkenazis, which is a short form of saying Turkish, Mongol, Edomite Huns. These people have taken over basically the whole world through the empires, the banking empires of Italy and Germany, the Rothschilds and the Medici empires were all basically Turkish, Mongol, Edomite empires that took over and have controlled the world. They came to America under Columbus and they took over the empire. They sent people from the Netherlands into New York City when New York City was settled. The banking empire again was the Edomite empire, the Turkish, Mongol, Edomite Huns. They basically are behind all the wars that have ever occurred in America, from the Civil War to the, you know, name every single war, to the war in Germany, the war in England, And it's an interesting study when you get into studying how all this took place, how the whole empire of Israel, I call it the empire of Israel because they essentially control America, they control the world through their banking establishments.
Yeah, I think it's a good point that I've always believed that the nation of Israel that's there today, that's not God's Israel.
It's not the Israel.
God's Israel is going to come out of the dust and they're going to be judged.
And Luke, you know, remember what Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father Satan the devil. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, these Jews in Israel, in their own Talmud, say that they are the children of God. Yeah. And you think of Ezekiel 38:39, who's Agog and Magog. They control that empire today.
Yeah.
They went into the land of unwalled villages and they took it over and they chased out all the true Israelites that were still left there and Christians. And so we have a battle going on today in the Middle East.
Very interesting history there. So
it's a fascinating history.
Yeah. Good one. Go ahead, Pete.
Something that's a little bit along this line. I just saw recently where in DNA research, they've now found children who neither have the DNA of their mother or their father.
And so that goes back. I think you're better.
Yeah.
I'll start over. In DNA research here recently, they've now discovered DNA that are not in the mother or in the father. And so that goes back to the fact that the DNA that came into the human race back in the Old Testament apparently is still in the human race. And people wonder about aliens and so forth. They go to, you need to go to scripture and see that these things have been going on for 1,000 years.
Yeah. Good one. Any others?
I have a question, Ronnie. I put it actually in the chat thing for you, but somebody else has a question in the chat too. But is the fourth kingdom a kingdom that is yet to come? That's one of my questions. And then my second, well, I'll let you let him answer that one. And I've got another question.
The question is the fourth kingdom the, what was the
question? That's still future.
The fourth kingdom according to, the fourth kingdom according to Bollinger is Rome. Of course, Rome has already come and gone. And then the, what happens is you go down the legs, the feet, there's the clay and the iron mixed together, and that is the prophetical future, and according to the traditional, or when I say traditional, typical sort of view, that is like some kind of revived Roman Empire. That's what a common way of interpreting that is. And I'm suggesting that that's not a good interpretation because if you look at the image, it falls when the stone which is cut out with hands, when it smashes the image, the whole image comes crashing down. And so in some way, the whole image must be upright, must be present. And the only way I can see that to be true is if the realm of one empire must be taken over by the next. So that the last empire will in fact be taking over the whole realm of what went before. And so I don't see Rome as being a good example of that because it didn't take down Persia, for example. And but the Islamic Empire has. And if you look at the notes in Bullinger's companion Bible in Daniel 2, you'll see there that he does intimate, not quite what I'm saying. He's saying that it's the feet which is the, you know, the going to be the Islamic Empire. But I'm saying that in fact, Rome should not even be in there. It should be the Islamic Empire right from the waist down.
Gotcha.
Okay. My question was, how are believers to prepare for the quickly changing times like the digital AI, the talk of aliens, the AI, the digital IDs, Neuralink, mRNA technologies? I mean, does the Bible say anything to tell us how to navigate these times.
Trust in the Lord.
I know that. I already know that. I that's the only thing that's going to get us through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think Pete already kind of alluded to the fact that our enemy today is not flesh and blood. It's a prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, I think is the way Paul put it. But yeah, that's a tough one, Tammy. There's a lot out there today that is not good for us. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Just rely on natural intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think prayer would be a big thing.
And an overabundance of prayer is a good remedy for that, I think.
For sure.
One other thing with regard to this AI, it's like so many other things that we have, and I just use fire as an example. I can burn your house down with it, but it's a wonderful thing to eat it when it's cold.
Yeah.
That's
a good analogy.
That's the way with things like AI. It's going to depend on who uses it and how it's used, and it obviously will be a wonderful thing in certain things like in medicine, possibly. But when you get to war or other areas, and
even ascertaining scripture in a lot of cases.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is going to be the ultimate teacher always, not AI. So, yeah, that's one thing to remember. Well, folks, I hate to cut it short, but I think, we got one more?
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
I think one thing, at least that I have a question on that I've been studying, is this Babylon of Revelation. It says that it's where the Lord was crucified, and spiritually it's referred to as Sodom and Egypt. And so where our Lord was crucified was Jerusalem. And also, it's responsible for all the blood of the prophets and the saints. So I can't find any Gentile nation anywhere in the scriptures that were responsible for the blood of the prophets and the saints. And so I think we have to sort of reconcile that. Is that apostate Israel today? Has that yet happened? I don't believe it's happened yet. But it's just something in the context of what's being spoken here. A lot of that stuff is new to me with what you've been saying, with what Randy's been saying. But I think that might answer some of the questions, too, with regards to what's going to happen in the end times. Yeah. And what's going to manifest take control before it's destroyed and the Lord returns.
Yeah. Well, it's like Randy was pointing out. These prophecies that have been made by the Old Testament prophets, every jot and tittle of that prophecy, if God has said it through a prophet, it's going to be fulfilled at some point. And it's just up to us as the students to figure out when and how and where it all fits in. For me, it's the enigma of the whole thing that we got this, who was it that said, I think it was, Bill said it's like just sitting out in a boat on the ocean, and the more you study, the bigger the ocean gets. You know, and you feel like you're never going to get to the other side. Maybe we don't. It's a good point. Anything else?
There's someone on this, Callie on the chat. She put a question on there. No, I don't know if it got answered.
Say again, Tammy?
There was Callie on the chat. She put a question on there. I said, I don't know if it was answered.
Oh, Chip, you read that one?
She's asking, does becoming a holy priesthood and having new covenant things associated with Israel apply to grafted in Gentiles? Can I read it again? Does becoming a holy priesthood and having a new covenant things associated with Israel apply to grafted in Gentiles?
Grafted in Gentiles are part of Israel. The grafted into Israel is whole. So anything that involves Israel, they would be a part of it.
Yeah.
We're not grafted. That wasn't funny.
And Lloyd was asking, what is the date Hebrews was written? He's got 53 to 54, I think, A.D., which maybe comes from Appendix 180 or 65 to 85.
I gave you my most astute answer, early Acts. That's all I could come up with, early. I couldn't go back and look. I said, well, no, it's early Acts.
Yeah. It's after he met Timothy.
Timothy. Yes. Yeah, probably Acts 17 or so, I don't know. Well, folks, I appreciate it. I hate to cut this a little bit short, but right at 5 o'clock, the caterer was going to be there. And the last thing we want is cold dinner. So if you don't have the address of the TFT building, TFT building address is, you plug it in, Google Maps works the best. 350 South Highway 11. You spell it exactly like that in West Union. And let's give the panel a round of applause. If you'll bow with me just a second, we'll go ahead and bless dinner before we get there.
Good luck, everybody.
Everybody bow with me just a second. We'll bless the food. Father, we thank you again for this day. Father, we thank you for all we've heard, for all these men that have put in the time and effort and stood before us, Father, with the spiritual food. Father, we pray now that you'll bless us as we partake of the physical food, that you'll give it to our bodies to your service for us in Christ's name tonight. We do humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.
We will see you out at the building.
See you there.
Okay, Zoomers, we're heading out. It's been a pleasure having y'all with us today. I hope you enjoyed these as much as I have. I got tons to think about for sure.
No problem. It's been great, but we won't be there at the building.
Yeah, I kind of figured that.
You ought to send us a picture at least to show everybody what they're missing.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you, Ronnie. We miss you.
Thank you, Ronnie.
See you folks later.
Over and out.
Ronnie, you got a question, a hands up.
How's the food?
Say again?
Somebody's got their hand up for question.
Oh, I see it. Oh, yeah, I see it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Mr. Chadburn.
Yes, this is Lee Chadburn. And I was just wanting to know what, according to the Bible, and according to the day's times, how close are we to the end times?
Oh, that's a loaded one. My personal view, and you could probably get a different answer from probably everybody in the room here. My personal view is I don't think we're going to make it out of this current century, to be honest with you. The best study I ever saw on that was by a fellow we lost that died maybe, I want to say 10, 12 years ago. And he put it with a good backup study that I have in my possession. He put that date at around 2064. Now, I know that's pretty bold to just come right out and throw out a date, but that's what he did. And he had pretty good, had to deal with the 2 days, you know, 1,000 years as being as 1 day and a day is 1,000 years. The 2 days
right.
Gentiles, on top of, the years of Revelation that have not been, fulfilled yet. And, you know, factoring into the, Yeah, he factors in this, this current dispensation we're in where Israel's low am I. So that was,
If you take it in the days of Noah, as the Bible says, it was very, very wicked during that time.
Oh yeah. That's
where God even gave up on the human race.
Yeah. And, to your point, sir, it's, all you got to do is look around. It's pretty bad shape we're in as a world.
I'd say we're starting into the, you know, into the days of the end times, but there's going to be more wickedness and evil to come.
Oh yeah, I would not argue that at all. That's for sure. I would agree. And I would definitely agree.
So the main thing is, I tell my parishioners is, you just have to be prepared.
Amen. Our power's in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's for sure.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Well, it's good to have you on today.